Broadcasting Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com. And 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Give your life to the Holy Spirit, and He will direct you. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus on the Air.
And thank you, listeners, and welcome, everyone. And we're going to have some show today, Joan.
I think we are, yeah.
Al's still singing. Good.
He's still singing. I hear him.
Okay. All right, Al, we had enough.
Sorry, Al. Okay.
All right, so welcome, everybody. And let's introduce our guest, and then we'll talk a little bit about the dedication in the show, and then we'll bring the guests back.
Okay.
So who are our guests today, Joan?
Oh, well, we have today Debbie Hurley, who is the coordinator of the Faith Formation Program at St. Catherine of Siena Church in Franklin Square. So welcome, Debbie. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Joan.
And
we have Catherine LaPeruta, who is a very, very hard worker for Debbie. And she's going to help us to speak about faith formation
and
today, too.
I may add, she's also an old friend for many, many years.
Sure.
She taught our son on pre-Cana, I remember.
That's right.
And she's just been around and she's been a good friend for many, many years. So,
and that's 10 years ago. He's
and
married.
That's 10, and he still remembers
years.
You.
Yes.
He still remembers you guys.
Thank
so
you.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Before we start, just give me a moment. I just want to dedicate this show to the memory of Dr. John Palmer, as I do in every show. So maybe we can say a little prayer, and I'll lead it. It'll be very quickly. Oh, my Jesus, we give you praise and glory, and we thank you. We thank you for allowing Dr. John Palmer to come into our lives and to become a co-host of the show with me, and to allow me to be mentored by him for 7 years, and allowing the show to go on for 5 years. And so, Jesus, we know how important the show was to Dr. Palmer, and we ask that you give us strength and send us the Holy Spirit and allow us to have this show continue. So we give you praise and glory and thank you. And I know Dr. Palmer was a good friend of yours, and he's in heaven, and he's probably dancing all over the place. So thank you, Jesus, and thank you for Dr. John Palmer. And by the way, may I add, I want to thank all those that are contributing to the Dr. John Palmer radio evangelization effort to have the show continue. Everyone that did contribute, received a thank you letter from us, received one of John Palmer's books, received disc of previous shows, received a memorial picture of Dr. Palmer, and also a short biography of Dr. Palmer. So we thank everyone that has contributed to the radio evangelization effort. And if you're looking to still contribute, you can send a check to Listen Up at 1827 Flushing Avenue, Ridgewood, New York, 11385, or you can go to our website, listenup.net, and go all the way to the right and say donate now and just go to PayPal. And so thank you for your contributions. We have enough of contributions to assure that this show will continue to at least the middle of next year.
That's great.
Thank you, listeners. Yeah. We love you. So, Joan, let's get on with the show.
Let's get on. So, Debbie, we'd like to hear your prayer you were talking about.
This is a prayer to the Holy Spirit that I hold dearly in my heart. It's by Cardinal Mercier, and it's I've adapted it and adopted it as my own. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten, guide, strengthen, and console us. Tell us what we ought to do and command us to do it. We promise to be submissive in all that you ask of us, and to accept all that you permit to happen to us. Only show us what is your holy will.
Beautiful, Debbie. Thank you, Debbie.
I just want to mention one thing.
Yeah.
If anyone, this is a grassroots program, and we're now opening it up to listeners if they want to make a comment, and I've announced this on the show several times. They can't call in, but they can text us, and they can text us at my text at 516-712-7005. That's 516-712-7005. The reason why I'm mentioning this, I just got a text, and I want to read it to you in a minute. So if it's okay, and the text was, "It's always a pleasure when listening to Honest Catholic Radio." So thank you, listener.
That's nice.
You're bringing tears to my eyes. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for sharing. Okay, go.
Okay, Debbie, so tell us a little bit about the Faith Formation Program at St. Catherine's.
All right, so I think I have to begin a little bit before that so you understand why I do what I do with the Faith Formation Program. When I was about 15, many years ago, my parish priest at that time said to me, "Debbie, would you help with the confirmation program? I'm 15, and we're talking about students 12 years old."
Right.
So I said to him, "I don't think I could do that." So he said, "Yes, you can. You know, go see what you can do. Just go to the program." And I looked at him and I said, "If I do something, would you do something for me?" He said, "What is it?" I said, "Well, can I help you with your sermons? They're really boring."
Atta girl!
So he looked at me and he said, "Okay." You know, he was such a good man, really good. But he saw something in me that I had no idea. Anyway, I went, and I was like a fish out of water. This is so boring. I just was like, how could anybody learn and be reading from this book all the time? And it's a boring confirmation program. I came back to him and I said, "I just don't like it." He said, "Well, think of something that you would be able to do to help these young people." So I went home and I prayed, and suddenly I thought the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, "Debbie, use your writing. You love to write." So I went to him and I said, "What about if I did a nativity play? We could start with that." And so I wrote that as a play, and it was, the young people got so much out of it, and they learned so much by the drama. So the next year, I thought, let me try The Way of the Cross. So you can imagine a 15-year-old trying to get through to 12-year-olds.
That's incredible, Debbie.
This is what happened. And I never have forgotten it. It was, "God will help you, Debbie, in the middle of all of this." And I was like, okay, I'll go through. I'll write this up. And it was based on action and meditation. So while doing this, I was thinking to myself, how will I get through? These young people are not listening to me. And I kept praying. And up to the night before, it was supposed to happen Good Friday morning, right? The night before, we're practicing and everything is not going right.
Wow.
Everything. So the next morning, as we started, everything started to just flow. I couldn't believe it. Were these the same young people? And it made such an impact on my life. That moment, step forward, and God will take care of the rest.
Wow. Amen.
And that,
Amen.
And
Holy
that,
Spirit,
and
yes.
that way of the cross made such an impact on those people's lives as well. The
oh,
young
wow.
people, you know.
Of course it did, yeah.
Yes, so that was That's what it. Sort of like led me into the way that we do things for the faith formation. I'm sort of like very hands-on, and we have to have fun. Learn about our faith, put it into action.
And is that what they do? They actually put on plays? And
well, you have to think. We're dealing with students that are... We have over 1,200 students at St. Catherine
oh,
of
wow.
Siena.
Didn't realize that.
1,200 students?
We have over 1,200.
Where'd you get them? Out of the woodwork? Oh, my Lord.
Grades 1 through grade 8, right? And what I've found is that our Catholic culture, it's like, let's get our children to make the sacraments. But that's about it. Mm. You know, we're not learning
that's
the
true.
Prayers.
That's true.
We're not going to Mass, but our children must make their sacraments.
That's unfortunate, yes. That's what's been happening.
And so that got me thinking.
Yeah.
You know, what can we do? In our diocese, when you prepare for First Communion, it's actually a 2-year process. First grade and second grade for first reconciliation and first communion. For confirmation, it's also a 2-year process, seventh grade and eighth grade. So we're looking at the sacraments, and I'm looking at how could we get our young people to want to be here, to be involved. And that is what motivated me to choose certain books that we use that will have activities that the young people could get involved with, mm. and to bring in programs that would motivate them and inspire them so they could aspire to do what God wants of them. So my theme has been, we have to walk the talk. We
wow.
can't just talk. We can't just... We have to put it into action.
Right.
So St. Catherine's has been very blessed to have you, by the way, and you really have turned the program upside down, inside out, and you really brought people into the program. So I have to tell you, I sit on the side and I'm amazed when I see all these children all back and forth, and I say to myself, how in the world are they doing this, and where are they getting them from? Oh, my Lord. You were sent by the Holy Spirit.
Definitely
no question.
Sent by the
and
Holy
Saint
Spirit.
St. Catherine is blessed to have you.
Thank you.
Can I just interrupt 1 minute? I don't know how I should do this, but I did get another text, and can I read it
yeah,
just
sure.
quickly? And it says, Tony, I've been listening to your incredible, it's going to make me cry, your incredible show since 2011. It always lifts me up and brings such peace. Yes, I miss John so much, especially his humor, but the show must go on. Love you, Tony. God bless you. And Joni, too.
Oh.
Prez. She's the president of our fan club. we nominated her president. Thank you, Mrs. Prez. I love you. Thank you.
Oh,
okay, let's go
beautiful.
On.
That was really beautiful.
Okay, so you got involved. But how many years have you been doing this, by the way? At St. Catherine, 3 years, I think?
Yes, 3 years.
3 years. And it's amazing the results that you were able to obtain. Now, I was, I had the pleasure of witnessing one of your meetings with the children. And you actually go in depth with them. I mean, you don't skid around the corners or anything like that. You actually, you know what I was so impressed with? And I don't know if anyone ever mentioned this to you. You don't beat around the bush. You bring them direct to Jesus and to the Blessed Mother. And you introduce the rosary. And these children know what the rosary is. They also know what a saint is, by the way, I have to tell you. And so it's amazing the results that I've seen. By the way, Rosary, is that
one of our songs?
Is that one of our songs?
Is that what you're saying? You hear a song coming
on?
Yeah,
do I hear a song coming on? Is that the
okay,
first song?
That's the second song, but you right. can do that.
Can we play the second song?
Second song.
Here it comes. I messed up. But I'm with the Holy Spirit.
That's it. It doesn't matter.
And Jesus loves me, I know.
Definitely.
You are here with me in my rosary. Every beat is a blessed seed. Stories of your Son, mysteries one by one, rosary in his memory. From the day you heard the angel Gabriel's word, to the night that he arrived, Queen of Peace, in my rosary, our Lord is alive. He foresaw the pain, blood to pour like rain, agony in Gethsemane, scourged and crowned with thorns, sacred flesh all torn, crucified as your pure heart cried.
Beautiful, Al, baby. Beautiful. Okay, so yeah. So the children have been introduced to the Holy Rosary, and they've been introduced, I'm sure, to the Holy Spirit. Now, what is your main goal with this endeavor with the children? I know you can't make saints out of all of them, and I know you can't make saints out of the parents and all of them. But what is it that what's your mission statement, so to speak, if you don't mind sharing that with us? I know it's a tough question.
No, not at all.
Oh, thank you. You're such a good guest. I love you.
Thank you. No. You know, I feel a great responsibility because God has truly blessed me with a lot of graces and gifts. And he has sent me. My line is all for Jesus through Mary, always with a smile. And if you could just get through to one child who is able to get through to their parents also. My whole thing is for the family. Hmm. And to be able to say, you know, that's why we have to go back to basics. Teach the prayers. The Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. The prayers that are made up with our rosary. You know, the importance of the rosary. The importance of Mary. Get back to basics. And the saints. We do all of this in our program. Our children actually say the rosary. You know that time when it's Our Lady of the Rosary, the 7th of October, during that week, whenever we have faith formation, every session says the rosary.
Wow.
And what we want to do, we want to inspire the parents to get back to our Catholic roots. That's what I was talking about.
It seems that's as the if foundation, we, yeah.
It seems as if we've drifted away. And that is what I think God has sent me to do, to inspire other people, you know. We have something now for eighth graders. We call it Faith Conversation, where it's part of their program in the sense that it's the same time that they have classes. So once a month, we ask a parent or a family member and or the sponsor to come with the candidate. And another young person, Serena Viti, wonderful member of our parish. She's in 12th grade right now, and myself. And what we do is we try to have a conversation on faith, and have a theme. And we have the young people and whoever comes with them, the adult, we ask a question, what does it mean to belong to the church? And they speak to each other. We don't get that opportunity in the home anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't have a conversation about faith. So we begin the conversation there. We talk about what it means to belong to the church as a young person, as an adult. And then we get our confirmation candidates and whoever the adult is to speak together about it. And we can have three or four questions. And I always say to them, this is just the beginning of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my catechists said to me just this past week, she said, you know, two of my parents in her class said to her, this was such a bonding moment. We don't get to do this at home.
Absolutely.
So, yes, the Holy Spirit is inspiring me in different ways. I mean, just when the saints, when we had like November the 1st, right? All Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Every single classroom, every single class was given a saint. That was the patron saint of their class. And they had to learn about this saint, do a little research.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And that, this is what we want to do. They had to take home their fact sheet. So you got the parents involved right there to help the children, to learn a little bit more. And so to go to your question, this is what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. To inspire our Catholic culture to come alive and to do as St. Catherine of Siena said, be who God created you to be, and you will set the world on fire.
Absolutely. And you know what? You're going right to the grassroots the religion. You're going to the parents that it will set straight their children on the right path. I know Kathy has. I know Kathy's really has. I'm so impressed with what you do, Kathy.
It's Kathy Laparuta that he's talking about. Who's sitting here very quietly.
But I can tell you, I'm so impressed with Kathy. And you know what? While we're talking about Kathy, you know, not everybody can do everything. but somebody can do something. And I always know, Kathy, that you're always there doing whatever you could possibly do or whatever your time allows you to do. So on behalf of the Blessed Mother and Jesus, thank you, because I know they're very happy with how you bring your children up and how you name your children. There's stories behind that too, I bet. And how you make sure that they have a religious life and how you get involved with the church. So thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Anthony.
Okay.
And I just want to say thank you also to all our volunteers.
Yes.
Our catechist aides, everyone who helps us in our faith formation program. You know, how they give up their time. Catherine is one of those persons. And, I just want to say thank you. I'm grateful. It takes a lot. Right now we have close to 190 volunteers.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Nearly two people in each class. You know, so even if you're just there as, you know, one of the parents, or you have no children in the program and you want to give of your time to help our children, please just come on by, introduce yourself to me at the parish, and, you know, we'll talk about it. And I'm sure God will inspire you, whoever is listening. God will use you as he has used Catherine. Thank you.
Mm.
Thank you once again.
Now, not everybody can do everything, but somebody can do a
Each
little something.
Each one can reach one. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Can I copy that?
That's good. Do
you mind if I use that?
You can use that.
See why she's my co-host, you see? Thank you, Joni. Yeah, that girl. Okay. So you took the faith formation program and you put it on the road, so to speak, and you got it going. I see the results. I see the results every month when we're giving out the Bibles and you're giving out your things, your literature about saints and the rosaries and stuff like that. What's your plan? Where would you want to take this program? How far? You know you can't make saints out of everyone. You know you can't make saints out of all the parents. But what's your vision with this program? Our vision for this radio show is to have one convert a week. That's our vision. That's our mission statement. John and I made it up. We want to be able to bring one person back to Jesus a week. What's your vision of your program? Have you developed a vision of how you want to affect the children and the parents?
One foot in front of the next. I just want to keep going with what God is asking of me.
Beautiful.
Each step of the way. And I have in front of me what Bishop Fulton Sheen says. We can never fail so long as we focus on efforts and leave effects to God.
Absolutely.
So, you know, in front of me, I'm trying my best to continue to inspire others to follow Jesus, to take up the rosary and pray, to at least say three Hail Marys in a day, even if you can't say the entire rosary at this time, to want to go back to Mass, to see how important it is to believe again. I think that is what I'm trying to do.
Mm.
That's why I say one step in front of the other. You know, there's a beautiful story about a man who didn't believe in the incarnation, the fact that God became man. Jesus was born for us. It was the night before Christmas. And snow was falling and wind and lots of snow. And suddenly he hears a thump on a window. And he goes outside and he sees these birds. And because of the snow and the wind, they're falling. And he has an empty barn. And he wants to get the birds into the barn. And he's trying, but his movements are just frightening them. And they're falling. And he wants to become a bird. If only I could speak like a bird. If only I could fly like a bird. If only I could be a bird. And in that instant, the church bells begin to ring. And what are they ringing? The hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, Let Us Adore Him. Wow. He kneels instantly in the snow. And right away, he realizes why Jesus came for us.
Beautiful.
How he came to become one like us in all things but sin, to take us to heaven. And if only people will realize what it is and who it is calling us to celebrate the Eucharist. What we have as Catholics, when in persona Christi, the priest consecrates the bread and wine, it becomes the body and blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you.
And thank you, Jesus, for allowing Debbie to bring that out. The foundation of our Catholic religion is the Eucharist and the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's a very, very spellbounding element, and thank you for bringing that out.
Thank you for coming to St. Catherine of Siena, because it's an incredible change that these children are receiving now, and it's wonderful.
You know, I wasn't going to mention this, but you had Fino talk to your group, and
that's right. And I have to be very honest. You have asked me quite a few times to come on the show, and I've been so busy. Yeah. And
but I got actually, I got him, audience.
The Lord actually works in mysterious ways.
Yes.
Again, because we want to do things that, you know, brings things to life, the mysteries of our faith, that for all saints, I always try, and I have been trying for the 7th and 8th graders, to get someone to talk, someone that's close to a saint. And of course, you know, people would think, oh, that's impossible. That's impossible. But the first thing my father ever wrote for me was, all things are possible with God.
Absolutely.
And so I never look at the impossibility. So I was praying this year, now who should we invite? And I was talking to Tony, and he says to me, I heard a little bit about you had an experience with Betania. And I said to him, yes. I have two sons. My second son was born with 3 heart problems. And I was so broken with that. But at 3 months old, not only did he have 3 heart problems, he was dying. So 3 months old, my sister asked me to go to Betania in Venezuela with my entire family. My mom, my aunts, we all went. My husband and my other son. And it's an overnight vigil in Betania where Our Lady was appearing. Maria Esperanza was the person through whom Our Lady spoke. And so we went to Betania. 3 months old was my son, Duran Lawrence. Duran means water, water for life. And Lawrence, of course, one of our first deacons, I thought he needed a good sense of humor along his way. And St. Lawrence was the one who said, okay, I'm cooked now, you can turn me over.
Absolutely.
But as I said, we had to pray overnight. I didn't know much about Betania. I knew nothing. I was just going because Our Lady was supposed to be appearing there at that time. So, with my son in my arms and my other son tugging at me, they're just a year and 6 months apart. We all went. I had to leave this site that we were praying at. We were there overnight. So I handed Duran to my aunt, and I left with my other son. I was told that the blue butterfly, which represents Our Lady, landed on Duran's foot. That gave me such hope. You know, God brings us to situations that can really tear at our hearts. And there wasn't a day that I didn't cry. Even though you go to Mass and you pray and you pray, but you feel this pain so deep in your heart. After that, I felt that this child is definitely going to live. This child is definitely here for a reason. So he was too sick even to have the operation, the open heart surgery he was supposed to have. But about 10 months later, he was able to have that operation. He had a large hole in his heart, an enlarged heart, and muscle growing under his left ventricle. Duran is going to be 21 January the 8th. And he is doing so well. We just continue to thank God. But because of that Betania connection, Dr. Tony Schiffo told me about Mr. Giordano, Fino Giordano. And he is the president of the Betania group.
Betania 13.
So he gave me his number. I called him up and I asked him if he would come and speak to our students. What do you know? The time that was planned for him to come, he told me he was actually going to meet the family, Maria Esperanza's family, mm-hmm. her children and husband in Massachusetts. Our program is on a Monday and a Wednesday for the 7th and 8th graders. He wasn't sure if he'd be able to come back in time. I assured him that he would, because this is what Jesus wanted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what a wonderful program it was. He spoke to our students, and I think he asked me, would they be listening to him? Would it be okay? What were they like? And I said, they would listen to you. They would be there. And definitely, just to have somebody who was so close to Maria Esperanza speak to them about her life, about her mission, Our Lady Reconciler of mm-hmm. Families.
Yes.
It very just important. Fitted right yeah. into
absolutely
what we want to do for our faith formation families.
Yes, and the talk was wonderful. As a matter of fact, you have the disc. I taped the talk.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you need any discs or any of your parents would like to copy the disc of the talk, I'll give you as many as you want.
Thank you very
much.
It
was a great talk. And I just want to mention, I was very impressed. I happened to, I stuck my 2 cents in. I don't know why, but I did. And I happened to get up for a minute or two. It's just my character. And I asked the audience, the kids, how many want to be saints? And I was like shocked, not shocked, but I was like, oh my God, that there were actually children in the audience that raised their hands that they would want to be saints. And so I said to them, well, this is a great time to start. Start now. And, you know, anybody could be a saint. So can you guys. And
That's right.
I was so impressed that they even knew what I meant. You know, so you're doing a great job.
God is good.
You really are,
that's right.
Absolutely.
God is good.
And that's a very inspiring story about Britannia. And it's something that Fino is a spiritual son of Maria Esperanza. And she has had a very spiritual life. Someday we've spoken about her several times on the show. We'll talk again about her.
And we've met her family, too.
And her family is
wonderful
the best.
People.
They're
wonderful.
Great. And one of the things she told the family, because she used to levitate in front of the family and a rose grew out of her chest. And one of the things she used to tell her family is, whatever you see, don't tell anybody because they're not going to believe you.
But they thought it was normal.
They thought it was normal
to see
for that
someone
stuff.
Levitate while they were cooking dinner.
So,
you know? So
it was. But I was very impressed with the group. I really was. You know what, Joan? Let's move on. We have the biblical reflection.
Oh, okay, sure. Right.
We have a reflection, a 2-minute reflection on the Sunday's readings, and it's given to us by a secret admirer and a very big fan of our show, and every week we get the reflection, but he doesn't want the name mentioned. So anyway, Joan, read this week's reflection.
All right. Spiritual reflection for the week. Jesus answered, "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This dialogue with Pilate comes as Pilate is about to condemn Jesus to death on a cross. Remember that Pilate wanted to wash his hands of the sentencing imposed on Jesus. He claimed that there were others to blame. So in order to keep the peace, he had crucified the Prince of Peace. Pilate did not listen to the voice of his conscience, which found upon Jesus no charge worthy of death. Instead, he listened to the voice of an angry mob, which intimidated him. And what about us, brothers and sisters? Are we often intimidated by popular opinion? Or even worse, do we agree with the opinions that are contrary to the truth spoken by Jesus Christ? Whose voice is most pleasing to us? The voice of sin or the voice of Jesus? People today are very street savvy in their own estimation, meaning that they have confidence that no one and nothing can trick or deceive them. Yet look how many people self-destruct because they were easily fooled and tricked by sin. Reality can never just be about what is true for me. Reality has to deal with the truth. Once we make a personal opinion and desire are synonymous with the truth, we prepare the way for sin to defeat us. But those who admit and read the truth listen to the voice of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Joan. And thank you, contributor. It's a very important part of our show to do these biblical reflections because the Bible is the foundation of our religion. It really is. Very quickly, I know we're running out of time, but I was asked, and I'm happy to do it, to talk a little bit about our newest saints. The first husband and wife team ever to be canonized as a saint. And it's very inspirational because, hey, a husband and wife was canonized together as a saint, and that's the mother and father of Saint Teresa of Lisieux. Their her mother and father are now saints. And so let's talk a little bit about them. I'll do it quick because we're running out of time. So Louis Martin and Marie Guerin, if I'm saying it right, were husband and wife. They got married, but they chose to live their life without relations, a celibate life, until finally a priest told them, you know, you guys are married, and God wants you to be productive. And that's the reason for marriages. That's the reason for a man to marry a woman. And so they did. And they had several children.
Nine
children, to be exact. And let me just say a little bit about each one of them, so I'll break it down, about each one of their lives. Louis was the third of five children, Louis Martin, the father. All his siblings died before reaching the age of 30. Although Louis intended to become a monk, wishing to enter the Augustine convent at St. Bernard's Monastery, he was rejected because he did not succeed in learning Latin. Later, he decided to become a watchmaker and studied his craft in making watches. And he was very successful at that. So God chose him to become a watchmaker. Marie Guerin, if I'm saying it right, am I saying it right? Was born in France and was the second daughter of Isidore Guerin. She had an older sister, Marie Louise, who became a nun, and a younger brother, Isidore, who was a pharmacist. Her maternal family was from Madrid in the neighboring department of Mayen. When her grandfather, Louis, was baptized on the 6th of March, 1778, she wanted to become a nun, but was turned away also by the Sisters of Charity due to respiratory difficulties and recurrent headaches. She then prayed to God to give her children and that they would be consecrated to God. She later decided to become a lace maker, making lace. Later, she fell in love with that good old watchmaker, Louis, and in 1858, and they were married. 3 months later, on July 12th, 1858, in the Basilica of Notre Dame, Sully's business had become so successful that Louis sold his watchmaking business to go into partnership with his wife. Although the couple lived as brother and sister for 10 months, from their wedding, they decided to have children after Louis, his spiritual director, encouraged them to have children. They would later have 9 children, though only 5 daughters would survive infancy. As the father, Louis loved nature with a deep sentimental enthusiasm. It was from there that Teresa inherited her passion for flowers and meadows, and for her native landscape, but for the clouds, the sky, the sun, the sea. She was always so fascinated with the creations of God. She planned, but did not live to carry out a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Along with this desire for adventure was an impulse towards withdrawal in Lisieux. And so even his daughters were allowed to enter the convent only if they wished spiritual self-examination. As in a monastery, he divided the day into worship, garden, work, and relaxation. As a jeweler and watchmaker, Lewis loved the precious things which he dealt with. To his daughters, he gave touching pet names. Maria was his diamond, Pauline his noble pearl, and etc. Teresa was his little queen, to whom all treasures belonged. Maria died, the mother, of breast cancer on August 28th at the age of 45, leaving Martin with the daughters. Her funeral was held, and she was where she had married Lewis. A few weeks later, Lewis sold his lace-making business in their house on Rue and moved to Lisieux, Normandy, where Zélie's brother, Isidore Garoun, a pharmacist, lived with his wife and two daughters. After Zélie's death, Pauline, Marie, Teresa, and Céline all became Carmelite nuns, one after another, along with the cousin Marie Garoun, and all influenced and encouraged by Martin. In 1889, Lewis suffered two paralyzing strokes, followed by a cerebral hemorrhage. He was hospitalized for 3 years. In 1892, he returned to Lisieux, where his daughters, Céline and Lyon, looked after him and devoutly until his death on July 29th at the Chateau La Muse. And so his beatification was declared venerable on March 26, 1994, and they were both declared a saint by Pope Francis just recently, October 18, 2015. So that's the loving story of a mother and father that had loving children and that they nourished. And maybe, you know, it wasn't so flamboyant as other saint stories. But Joan knows a little bit about the canonization and turned them to be declared saints from a boy. Yeah, maybe you can give a quick story.
I really don't know that much about it, but I do know that one of the children. I think it was probably the last miracle that really they needed to become saints was a little girl who was born. I think her name was Carmen, and she was born 6 months. At 6 months, so she, well, her intestines and her organs were all very underdeveloped, and she was very ill. They didn't think she would make it. They told the parents she would probably die, and they prayed and they prayed and eventually found out about the parents to pray to, and they did. And they said the very next day she started to recuperate. She was sent to, because she was able to be moved at that point because of her recuperation, they sent her to another hospital where she got more care and more care, and they were actually able to finally touch her. They never were able to touch her because she was that ill. And so by praying to these two people, the baby was cured. She, I believe, is about 7 years old now, and she's doing very well. She's wonderful. Everything healed. Just as if she were never premature.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the beautiful story of a mother and a father becoming the first parental saints in the history of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. A family of saints.
So that just goes to show, become a saint, we can too.
Yes.
Absolutely. And so I would like to play this other song. Do we have time for that?
I think so.
Why don't we say a prayer for our petitions, and maybe
okay, and then we can
and go with the song, and okay, say a prayer to our supporters of the show and for our petitions. And so maybe we could start with you, Debbie. Maybe you can start leading us in prayer.
And just before we say the prayer, the new saints that you were speaking about, the parents of Saint Therese of Lisieux, who's so famous, The Little Flower, she's always taught us whatever we do with love.
Absolutely. And isn't it all about love?
Yes.
And doesn't so love beautiful. Make the world go round, so to speak? And
yes, and I have a story I can't really say right now. I'll have to say it at another time, but it's about St. Teresa of Lisieux. And I don't think it's anything to do with what her life was about. But I was in a prayer group when we were first married, and we prayed to St. Teresa, St. Teresa Guild, it was called. And we had statues of St. Teresa. And for some reason, it was a statue that was given to someone who wanted to conceive. And so that statue was given to that person, and they would pray, and they would conceive through St. Teresa. And so I had the statue at one point, and I just knew a few people that had just been married or married maybe 5 years or 6 years and hadn't been able to conceive. And so I would give them the statue. And this statue went from one person to another to another. I don't think I got it back for about 10 years. And then when I finally did get it back, it was because we had lived in Brooklyn then. And when I finally did get it back, we were moving to Franklin Square. And so I had it then, and I learned, I worked at a school, and I learned of a few more people who needed help too. And I say, take this statue. And it went around again for about another 5 or 6 years, maybe more than that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how many years. But I finally gave it to one person, and she was a Jewish lady. And I said to her, I'll give you the statue, but you cannot put her in a closet and forget about her. If you'll pray to her, you'll keep her on your dresser and you'll pray to her. And this woman moved to Florida and took the statue with her. But I did hear that she didn't conceive, but she adopted two beautiful children. And in a special way that I didn't really understand. I never heard the whole story anymore. But since then, I've bought people statues. I never got that statue back. I hope she's still doing.
What?
I never got a statue.
No. Okay. So, Debbie, would you lead us in the prayer? Okay.
2 minutes. Okay.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for leading us, for all our families. And we pray especially for those who continue to support Dr. Tony Schiffo and Joni. May his grace be with us always. This we ask in your name, O Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And praise you, Jesus. Praise the. We lift up the petitions, and we ask that you tell John Palmer we love him. Thank you. And can we go out with the Holy Spirit? The first song? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, listeners. We love you. And come back again next week.
See you next week.
necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The following show is an encore presentation.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to